preacher would love to preach after just hearing that song. You do have to make a lot of stands, but the battle has already been won. Finished on Calvary. I had wondered. I had, you know how preachers are, you bring a whole sack of sermons. And I finally got it down to two. And I still wasn't sure. I mean, and I just couldn't get settled. Then I came in tonight. Brother Larry said, "Let's sing Because He Lives." That won't lift you up, you're dead. Yeah. Then how great you are. How great thou art. Yeah. And then the song that Terry and Jenny sang. And then finished it off with "It's Finished." This has to be the greatest conference they've ever had. They got the long of it, the short of it, and all the works in between. You can't beat that. I mean, you got it all. I remember well 31 years ago when Home Baptist Church had its first conference. I had never preached in a conference in my life. I'd been to a few where they are getting fussed. You know, each one trying to prove the other one's wrong. But Brother Don Titus invited us to come and speak in the conference, and it was a revival. It really was. I'm not kidding. If I remember correctly, some were saved. We had a preacher that had been disciplined from the church, and he repented and got things straightened out in his life between him and the Lord. And we really had a revival. Really did. Some of you remember it. I know Brother Hamill's old enough to remember it. You were probably here the first one, wasn't you? Did you? And just had a glorious time, and it's been that way ever since. I was 42 years old when they had that first one. I'm just a wee bit older than that tonight. We've heard about how terrible things are today. But I'm honest with you, I'm excited. Looking for things that I have believed in ever since 1957 when the Lord saved me. But they're dearer to me and seem so much closer to me than they ever have before. They're real. And I do not in any way want to belittle how bad things are. In any way at all, take away from that. Things are in terrible, terrible condition economically, politically, theologically, any other way you want to mention. Things are bad today. But I'd say to you tonight to look up. Best is yet to come. As I said, I wondered about for sure what I was going to preach. What I'm going to preach tonight, I may have preached it here, I don't know. When you've been preaching as long as I have, you preach the same sermon a lot of places sometimes. Doesn't really bother me if it's true the first time, it'll be true the next time. But I really felt, after these songs tonight, the Lord settled me what I'm going to preach on. I want, first of all, to read a verse from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Even if you claim to have hope in Christ, if it's in this life only, you're still a miserable human being. This life doesn't offer too much today, folks. Mostly heartache and trouble. But there's a lot more to it, if you know Jesus Christ, than in this life. Matthew 27, if you will, turn with us. And as I said, I'm excited. I'm happy. Doctors keep adding things to me. You know, and the old clock keeps ticking, but one of these days that old clock's going to quit ticking. But I have something far better to look forward to than anything. And God has been so, I don't know what word to use to express how great God has been to me in this life. Watched over me, took care of me as an heir of salvation until he saved me. I was just as safe before I was saved as I am after I was saved. Because he was the same God as watching after me all the time. So many things he's done for me in this life that I just can't get over it. And I believe his brother Dan Gordon said, if you've ever experienced, really experienced, Jesus Christ in true biblical salvation, you'll never get over it. It's just something, as Brother Killian said, it's just part of you. And you can't get over it. And don't want to get over it, as Brother Hamill said. But tonight, if the Lord will help us, I'd like to speak to you on this subject. And if you've heard me preach it before, just pray for me that I'll do a better job this time. But if the Lord help us, we'd like to preach on the subject of Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. I live for Sunday. I really do. I enjoy Wednesday night, but Wednesday night is sort of like on a trip. You're going somewhere like to a conference, you know. And you have to stop over and you like to have a nice motel and a good meal on the way there and you get up the next morning and finish the journey. That's what Wednesday night is like. You know, from one Sunday to the next. And you stop off in the middle of the week and you get filled up again. Get fed, refreshed, waiting for the next Sunday to come. And I look forward to Sunday. Amen. I admit sometimes as a pastor, you go brokenhearted in grief over those that the Lord has put you in a position to watch over, and you see them heading for destruction, misery, sorrow in their life, but you still look forward to the time when you meet with God's people and have the august privilege of just telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I in this life are living through some miserable times. But this is just Wednesday. Sunday's coming.
Amen.
As you get older, some of you old folks like Brother Hancock, you begin to get a different view of life. It becomes more serious. You become more vigilant. And in so doing, you learn that there's something more to life than just now. This world doesn't have the answers for us. It doesn't offer us very much. Just a time of heartache and sorrow. But just keep in mind, this is Wednesday. Sunday's coming. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that, after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. When he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. First of all, I'd like for you to think with me a little while tonight on the condescension of Christ. The condescension of the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of this world, that created man, put him upon this earth, not that God might serve him, but that they might serve God. The Bible tells us here in these verses that they took our Lord and Savior. He that was the Messiah, the Deliverer, the Savior, and King. And they took him and tried him falsely and put him up before the people, and they cried, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Let his blood be upon us and our children." Can you imagine how his followers, the apostles, and the other followers must have felt? The one that they had believed he would be their deliverer, their king, their future hope seemed to be dashed to nothing as they took their king. In verse 26, it said they took him and they scourged him many times in a manner that would even bring death to some. And then verse 28, they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, mocking him as king. Verse 29, they crowned him with thorns, a symbol of the sin that cursed this earth. Verse 30, they spit upon him, demeaned him, and did everything they could to desecrate the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then in verse 35, they crucified him, a curse that he endured for the sake of his people. Verse 40 through 44, they mocked him as he hung on the cross, said, "If you be the Christ, then save yourself and us." Verse 45 through 46, God the Father forsook him, because Habakkuk 1:13 says that God the Father is of such pure eyes that he cannot look upon sin. And my sin and your sin and the sin of all believers was placed upon him, as we've heard so eloquently even tonight as Brother Hamill stood and preached to him. And he took our sins upon him. And as he bore up under the weight of our sins, God the Father turned his back upon him and forsook him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Verse 51 says that the earth shook and quaked, and the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. Verse 57 through 60, two friends came and claimed his body and put him in the tomb. The Bible tells us in verse 61 that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, watched him as his body lay in the tomb. See, the despondent, defeated, dismayed, discouraged, deceived, supposedly followers, watching their Lord being mocked, scourged, desecrated, and then finally his body placed in a tomb. How discouraged they must have been. But this is just Wednesday. I believe the Lord died on Wednesday. Later on, I believe it's in verse 63, it said they remember that he said after the third day he'd rise again. How discouraged and despondent we get sometimes. When we see the way things are going today. But this is just Wednesday. Sunday's coming. In the 28th chapter, look with me if you will in verse 6 of Matthew 28. And as Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James came to the tomb, and the angel said, "He's not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where they lay him." Amen. Sunday's coming. We live in a day of violence and immorality that shocks even some of those that don't even claim to be Christian. Brother Sean Trescott told us about what he saw, I believe he said, at McDonald's, of two ladies. No, I take that back, two women. I suppose they were. But to these apostles, it seemed that all hopes were gone. There wasn't any gospel. There wasn't any good news to tell. Violent and wicked men had seemed to prevail over the Lord of glory. The lips of the followers that had followed him for about 3.5 years now were silent. Sometimes we today, as God's people, as we see the way things are going, we begin to almost be silent. But the Lord Jesus Christ condescended to come down willingly, as he said, "No man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again." Amen. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. God Almighty, the God of the mighty salvation that we heard of here yesterday, last night, and today. The God, the creator of this universe, that had come down and condescended to let man take him by his wicked hands and place him on a cross. I think about when they came to arrest him, and he said, "Whom seek ye?" They said, "Jesus." He said, "I'm he." They fell backwards. How easily he could have destroyed them. Yet he willingly condescended to give his life upon the cross. But as I said, this is just Wednesday. Then notice with me our consolation in Jesus Christ. When I heard Brother Larry begin that song, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." Amen. You know, I used to, when I was younger, I'd get to wondering, how could these older people in their 70s and 80s, how could they seem to be so consoled, you know, and comfortable knowing that if they lived a long life, soon they're going to face death? How can you do that? And I can tell you why, because Sunday's coming. This is just Wednesday. After 3 days, he rose from the grave. Sunday had come. I'm looking for Sunday. I really am, folks. I tell you, when Brother Lafferty talked about when they did brain surgery on him, and I went in to see him just a few minutes before they came and took him, and he was absolutely comfortable and calm, laying there knowing what they were going to do to him. And if you've ever had that kind of surgery, you understand. As they come in and tell you that there's a certain percent you can have a stroke, a heart attack, or die on the operating table, and all at once, for some reason, there just perfect peace comes over you. You know why? Because that's not the end. Amen. This is just Wednesday. Sunday's coming. Amen. Our consolation tonight is not just in Christ in this life only. Amen. But there's something better coming. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Amen. Because He lives. Life is worth living. Think of all the things that I can remember in those 31 years since the first conference here. I remember Brother Harry Healy when he had cancer and had to have surgery. And many things that I recall, Brother Harold Harvey preaching here. Eugene Clark, many others. All those wonderful memories. And if this was the end, folks, and I'm glad Sister Harvey's here. But if this was the end, she'd have nothing to look forward to. I'm looking for that day when once again, as the Bible tells me, we'll see our loved ones. Those that have gone on before us, they had to experience Wednesday like you and I. But Sunday's coming. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have the story of the gospel, and the end result of that gospel is the resurrection. The resurrection chapter. And we get our consolation from the fact that this life is not all there is to it. Something far greater. The Lord has saved the best for His people. Satan gives his people the best right now, and then gives them the dregs at the end. But God saves the best for last. What's waiting for us far exceeds anything that we may even have in this life. Jesus said, and you know, I think about this, we often refer to the to death as the Jordan of death. Old song, on Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye. But when you and I come to the time we stand at the Jordan of death and we lift up our eyes and look on the other side, and there we see some bloody footprints and one that sets his gaze upon us and said, "Fear not, my child. I've already gone this way, and because I live, you're going to live also." Amen. Sunday's coming, folks. Grave can't hold us. This old earth has a terrible, terrible pull of gravity. You and I can't fly. But Larry Killian just flew from Washington to Michigan. But he flew by means of a substitute, an airplane. And the gravity of this old earth holds us down, and they take our bodies and they put it in a tomb or a grave or burn it to ashes, whatever they want to do. And this old earth holds it. But one day it's going to lose its pull by means of a substitute. You and I can't get out of this world alive, but there's one that did. And because he lived, you and I shall live also. With all of the violence and the wickedness and the terrible things that's happening today, folks, just keep in mind that this is just Wednesday. Sunday's coming. On Wednesday, no doubt the demons of hell shouted with glee. They thought they had conquered the Creator. They thought they had conquered the Sovereign, that Satan finally had become the Most High himself. But this is just Wednesday. Sunday's coming. And light begins to shine through. Ephesians 4 and 8 tells us that when Jesus Christ died, he set the captive free. Those old saints that someone mentioned over in Hebrews chapter 11. And I love Hebrews chapter 11. I really do. You know why I love it? Over in the book of Joshua chapter 2 and chapter 6, it tells us about a woman by the name of Rahab. Oh, Rahab, a penniless pagan prostitute. That's what she was. Yeah. She was a harlot on the walls of Jericho, and she sold herself. But she heard about the God of Israel. And when she heard about the God of Israel and what he did, she said that they trembled. And when the spies came, she hid them. And she told them when they told her when they left, said, "Hang the scarlet cord out the window. And when we see you coming, we'll save whoever's in this house." But you know what she did? When those spies left, she didn't wait. She saw them coming. She hung it out right then. Hung that scarlet cord out. She wanted everybody to know she was waiting for the God of Israel to come. You and I, when God so graciously saved us from our sins and told us one day he's coming back for us, you and I ought to want the world to know that we belong to him. Identify ourselves. Hang that scarlet cord out. Unite with a true scripture, New Testament church, and tell the world, "I belong to the God of Israel. I belong to Jesus Christ." But she was saved because of her faith in God. She heard about God, and faith cometh by hearing, and she believed in that God, and the result was she was saved. And then in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, all through the Bible, she's called Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot. Did you get over in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, and she just called plain old Rahab? Because she's in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. Then you go on over to Hebrews chapter 11. There where old Abraham, Moses, and old Savior the Princess, they're in the same position as Rahab the harlot. The Lord Jesus Christ went down to Hades, the prison that held God's saints captive until Jesus Christ paid for their sins. Ephesians tells us that he went down in Ephesians 4 and set the captive free. And there they wait. But this is just Wednesday. Sunday's coming. And Hebrews tells us they'll not be made perfect till we get there with them. You and I, living in this day to day, experience so many things that are discouraging. And I, in this message tonight, am not trying to teach you folks doctrine. Your pastors do that. I don't want other pastors teaching my people doctrine. I take care of that. I'm just here to encourage you tonight, not to give up or to give in, but just stand. As the song said, the battle's been finished. We're having a hard time. We get discouraged. Sometimes we want to quit. But just remember, this is just Wednesday. Sunday's coming. Bible tells us in the book of Philippians that one day the Lord is coming back, and he's going to change this old vile body, this old wicked, sinful, prone to sin body. He's going to change it and fashion it like unto his glorious body. Amen. I'm looking forward to that. Amen. They've done about all they can do to this one. Not much else they can do to it. They've cut out whatever they can cut out, and I can still keep going, and they've added a few things and keep it going. But I'm about to get tired of it. This old body. Sometimes it causes me more trouble than I like to have to put up with. But this is just Wednesday. Amen. Sunday's coming. One of these days, if the Lord don't come back first, they're going to take this old body, do something with it. I don't know what they're going to do with it. Don't really matter to me, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to bring reproach upon my family, but they can take it out and put it in an old pine box or wrap it up and just cover it up. Whatever they want to do with it. But this is just Wednesday. Sunday's coming. 1 John chapter 3 said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God." Amen. And it does not yet appear what we should be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Listen to me, you younger Christians and believers, younger Baptists, it's going to be difficult. You that probably in your 30s and 40s, if the Lord doesn't come back, you're probably going to have a harder battle than some of us did. It's getting worse. I mean, in just a short period of time, we've seen things that I never thought I'd ever see. It's going to be hard, and it's going to be difficult, but just remember, this is just Wednesday. Sunday's coming. Amen. The battle's already been fought. The war's already been won. All you and I have to do is just claim it tonight. I want to close with the chorus of this song. I'll tell you better than that. Brother Larry, where are you? Come up here. I want you to sing the chorus of this song for us. Because he lives. Join in with us tonight, keeping in mind that Sunday's coming. Amen. Sing it for us.
Just the chorus.
Sing it all if you want to. I don't care.